Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
They said we look
now
suspicious.
It's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and beyond every weekday around 10 a.m.
Well, it's been rough and rocky traveling, but I'm finally standing.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is Me and Paul by Willie Nelson, a song about him and his drummer. Two friends traveling around the country performing together. Sending that out to John Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., who get to travel around the country performing together for the first time in 2 years, really.
So we have a Grizzlies opener tonight, a home opener tonight. They are 3-17 in home openers, which is pretty freaking amazing, and 7-13 in openers, if you count all first games of the season, those at home and on the road. Have you been to all of the home openers?
I think so, but I don't know. I guess I haven't kept track of that. I can't remember offhand a home opener I've missed. Well, no, the first season, I'm pretty sure I missed the home opener because I didn't cover the team the first season. The first Grizzlies game I ever attended in person was early that first season, and I think it was the first win of the season. It was the first win of the season against Cleveland. That was not the home opener. That was a little, a week or two in. But the first ever Memphis Grizzlies win was against Cleveland. Stromile Swift had a big fourth quarter in the Pyramid. I was in the building for that game, but I was not in the building for the very first game.
Well, tonight we have Evie McKinney will perform the national anthem. Krunk Phenom and Memphian Duke Deuce performance for introductions, and Memphian's Project Pat and Big Boogie perform during halftime. I forgot how on your rating system, when you rate all the home games, if people are divvying them up, do you give extra points for the? Are you a fan of the home opener and all that it involves?
Yeah, I mean, I think the opener is a guaranteed 4-star game. I mean, it's certainly. That and MLK Day are the two games that are inherently events, regardless of other circumstances. And so that's an automatic 4-star game, the opener.
I don't think Grizz has always been raising the baby bear in the air, baby Simba, to symbolize a new season. But I'm just enough of a sap that I enjoy that. I enjoy the fol-de-rol. It is funny, though. People always assume, I've talked to Grizzlies ticket sellers about this before. People always assume that the home opener is going to be a sellout. Oh, of course it's going to be a sellout. And the expectations are that if they don't sell it out, it's somehow a disappointment. But it's not. It's a lot of times it's midweek. It's like a lot of things going on. It's not always a dynamic team. And then
it's always a weeknight game because of the way the NBA season starts. So it's almost always a Wednesday night, honestly, because the Grizzlies never – the NBA season opens on Tuesdays, and that's a national TV, and Grizzlies aren't that.
Right.
So it's almost always a Wednesday night if the first game is at home, if the season is at home. And so it's always a weeknight, and it's pretty much never a marquee opponent.
Do you remember? It is funny. I was going through for the column I wrote. I was cataloging all of these losses. Like, they're just some hideous losses on opening night that they've had. They've just gotten – not. It's not just that they've lost. They've gotten drilled on opening night in a lot of games. Do any leap to mind?
A memorable one, which was a loss but not a demoralizing loss, was, I believe, it triple overtime against the Knicks, which was Rudy Gay and Kyle Lowry's first NBA games. That was a great game. At this point, lost, but that was a great game. There was one, I believe, against Washington when the entire Wizards roster was injured.
Exactly.
That was demoralizing. Those are the two that I remember most distinctly.
Yeah. Well, and then that was the opening night. I think the first one in FedEx Forum, there was a little more attached to that one because it was the first night in FedEx Forum, and I think they lost that one as well. They should not lose tonight. I mean, it's a basketball game. They can. Tell me about the Cavs.
The Cavs are young and sort of intriguing. They got two talented guards who probably are not a long-term fit together as a starting backcourt in Colin Sexton and Darius Garland. I think Colin – I once joked to Chris Vernon to sort of needle him a little bit, but I was totally serious about it that Colin – because he loves Colin Sexton. I once told him Colin Sexton was a future sixth man of the year runner-up, and I still believe that to be true. That's his destiny, to be a sixth man on a good team, not a guy who scores 25 points on a bad team, which is what he is right now. They have two good small guards that probably aren't a great fit together.
Wasn't Darius Garland was the Ja draft who we – was that right, who you're looking at as maybe – if they didn't, if the Grizzlies didn't get lucky,
he ended up going fifth. I had him fourth, and when I wrote about the Grizzlies' decision at the pick, I primarily wrote about John Morant, RJ Barrett, but I actually included Darius Garland to say that, you know, if there's anyone else you should even at least talk about a little bit, it's Garland, because Garland had the skill set that was most wanted among small guards, which was off the dribble, deep shooting. Right, he had that skill, and he turned out to be good. They got a lot of bigs, maybe too many bigs, but one of them is the number two, or number three. I think number three overall pick in the recent NBA draft, Evan Mobley. So you will see, you know, who knows, maybe Evan Mobley becomes a future Hall of Famer. And if so, if you're there tonight, you will have seen the NBA debut of Evan Mobley, which is kind of a cool thing.
Jeffy, what's the line on tonight's game? Do you know what the line is?
7.5.
It's 8 is what I saw. I know all about gambling now because I just wrote about the sports bar.
And J.B. Bickerstaff, you have, right? He's still there. Is J.B. Bickerstaff?
Yeah, I don't know. Has he been – I know he's been back as a coach, but I'm not sure he's been back as a coach, like, when there were, like, fans in the arena, because it was last year. Maybe he has. I don't remember. But, yeah, J.B., he's still there.
I remember he came back last year, and I think it was right after we'd had another spike, and I want to say it was, like, a game with no fans again.
Right.
What do we expect in terms of attendance or whatever tonight? I mean, I'm not like measuring or judging anyone or anything else. You do have this deal where you...
I honestly have not thought about attendance. I have not talked to anyone about attendance. I don't know. I'll be there.
Right.
I'll be there with my kid. I don't know. I'm sort of past the point of like worrying about
attendance. I'm not worrying about it as a civic whatever. I'm just interested, like, given the pandemic, given the, you know, like...
Oh, yeah, there is that and the COVID stuff.
The COVID stuff and... Yeah.
I think it's a mystery. I don't know. I am, as you know, I am going to go as a fan tonight with my son. And so I will be on the front line seeing like how long the lines are and the delays and the COVID protocol. And so I'll be able to talk about that. I'll write about it too, but I'll be able to talk about that tomorrow. So we'll see what that experience is like. I am planning. I don't know. They say get there early. Like, I don't know how early, what that means. They don't even open the doors till 6, do they? For fans, isn't that right? I mean, we always go through the media entrance. So.
Right, yeah. We'll
so I think up. I'll probably get there at 6, an hour before tip, and hopefully, you know, we'll get in okay.
I was talking to someone, I think at a Memphis football game this past weekend, and they were basically saying that if it's not some big game, they build in a 20% decrease in attendance as they're thinking about things because of the pandemic. Like, it's not,
I think that, now that I'm thinking about it, I certainly think that at the end of this season, your average attendance will be a certain percentage lower than it would be if not for all the COVID. I think that is absolutely going to be the case, right? And so I don't think you can take like the total attendance this season and judge it against the last full season pre-COVID as an apple-to-apple comparison. I think that is true.
Right. And, honestly, I expect it will pick up. Well, depending on what happens with COVID, we don't know what's going to happen with COVID. Right now, numbers looking better, but
and what happens with the team?
What happens with the team? But we could get to a point where like people still don't want to. Some people may not want to go to the game because they don't want to wear a mask at the game, and you have to wear a mask at the game right now. You got to show that you've been vaccinated, and you got to wear a mask, and so you can object to that out there in the world if you like. But some people and I expect, don't you? I don't know. Do you have any expectation that the health department is going to drop the mask? If you're vaccinated, indoor events that require vaccination will not have mask wearing. Is that, do you have any expectation one way or another?
I don't expect that to change, like, in November or whatever, which is, you know, the Grizzlies were saying was going to be reevaluated or whatever. I do think if we don't have a surge again in the spring, I do think that will change at some point during the season as long as our numbers trend in the right direction. I do think there's a chance that at some point this season we can get away from that. But I'm not expecting it anytime soon.
What are the what's a successful season look like for the Grizzlies?
I think a success. Well, I mean, with macro, it is you feel like you are on the path to getting where you want to get beyond this season, and that is to be a perennial playoff team. You know, with John Jaren as your foundation, especially now you've signed a Jaren to an extension. So I think to feel better about the future on the last day of the season than you feel today is what success
means. That's exactly right. Yep.
But in a more of just this season wins and losses kind of sense, I think if they took a step back in the sense of like missing the play-in tournament, I think that would be bad. I think if they took a step forward and like got into the top six somehow in the regular season, that would be amazing. If they fall into the play-in tournament, that 7-10 range, which is what most people expect, myself included, I think that is a fine outcome. And at that point, you get into this, you know, this 1-2 game sort of situation. It's almost quasi NCAA tournament. I don't think you can pin success or failure at this point on do you win or lose a game in the play-in tournament. And so I think making it into the play-in tournament would be sort of par for the Grizzlies this season.
I think that's right. And I think technically making it into the play-in tournament and not making it into the playoffs is technically a step back, but not in any meaningful way. It's just not.
But if that happens, but it happens in a way where you feel great about Ja, you feel great about Jaren, you feel great about the future direction, then I think that's all fine.
Exactly. So, but the larger macro sense, which is what success looks like, is feeling, I'd even say even better, because I feel pretty good about the future. So feeling as good or better about the future on the last day of the season as you do today, there is no way that can happen if both Ja and Jaren don't, like, you need both of them. They both, the other ones, you can get some mix of them, but it's essential that both of these dudes take a step forward, because there's no one else who can be, I said earlier on the show, there's no one else on this roster who looks like the first or second best player on a Western Conference Finals team. Maybe, you know, maybe Zaire.
If you believe, Zaire, who knows, because that's so far down the line. I mean, anything's possible with Zaire. Dylan Brooks, if you believe playoff Dylan Brooks, but I don't really believe playoff Dylan Brooks. And so I think you're right. I think your best case scenario is Ja's number one and Jaren's number two on a future contender. And it's possible that, like, you need to find someone else to bring in, like, you know, at Jaren's level or better. But I don't think there's any scenario that, you know, there's someone on this roster you peg in that way. And so I think you're completely right.
But the other thing that struck me about this team this year is it's fun to watch basketball for all kinds of reasons. Fun when they win, fun to watch different, you know, whatever. But the big men pass you like to watch or whatever it is. But it's also fun to watch young players develop or players with upside. I don't think this roster has ever had, and this is maybe just a variation of what you said yesterday and in your column and your preview, as many players who have not yet hit their upside. Like, I think you can make an argument that Kyle Anderson is what he is and that Steven Adams is what he is. You can wonder fit and whatever else and all that. And maybe even in terms of the Grizzlies, Tyus Jones is what he is and John Conchar. But everyone else, we wonder. Like, everyone else has an upside. It's amazing. There's like eight of them.
I think top to very bottom, I think that's true. But I think because we now know what the outcome was, we underrate the amount of promise. At one point, they were going into a season with, like, Rudy Gay, who was, like, 22 years old or whatever, just scored, had a 20-point season, and O.J. Mayo, who had just been second to Derrick Rose in rookie of the year, and Mike Conley. And you know, Darrell Arthur, who at this point was like a rookie, who had been, you know, I mean, the idea, it ended up becoming Zach Randolph, Marc Gasol, Tony Allen, whatever. But at one point, it was going to be Rudy Gay, O.J. Mayo, Mike Conley. And all three of those guys were in their early 20s and all had been top 10 picks. Two of them had been top 5 picks. And Rudy had finished third in Rookie of the Year. Mayo had finished
Was Kyle Lowry still on that team, too?
I'd have to go back and look and see at what point he got traded in the mix of all that.
Right,
but
and
yeah,
the Darrell
Arthur. That was an assemblage of, like, young talent you could really dream about.
Well, and the truth of the matter is one could dream about Gravis Vasquez, too, in the sense that the same way you can dream about Brandon Clark, right? I mean, they're both kind of interesting NBA players who you can, you know, dream about, but who may have limited upside, right? I mean, so, but anyway, it should be a fun year. There was basketball played last night, and the Bucks, as you predicted, looked like the best regular season Eastern team, at least last night, as Giannis goes for 32 and 14. How about Grayson Allen, starter on the world champion Milwaukee Bucks, and gets paid? That's kind of fun. What did you make of that one?
Yeah, no, that was a good deal, I think, for both sides. It was a 2-year, for people miss it. It was a 2-year extension for about $10 million a year. I think they overpaid a little bit on the per year in order to only keep it at 2 years. I think that was probably the compromise that happened there, which makes sense, I think, for Milwaukee, and it's a good payday for Grayson. He started the game last night. That was mostly because Dante DiVincenzo is still hurt, and so DiVincenzo will end up being the starter probably on that team. But then if you're bringing Grayson Allen off the bench, and now you got Grayson Allen off the bench, and Pat Connaughton, who had a good game last night and was good in the finals, and this kid Jordan Nwora, who was sort of their rookie, who was marinating last year, didn't really play, and now looks like he had a good preseason, was good last night. I think that Milwaukee team, once DiVincenzo gets healthy, is going to be deeper than they were last year, because they had sort of hollowed out their roster last year, you know, making the holiday trade and everything. So I think they've sort of rebuilt the depth a little bit. I think Drew Holiday now has had a year of reps with this team. I think Giannis is full flower, absolute peak prime right now. He certainly looked at last night. And I think that's going to be the best team in the NBA, at least in the regular season.
Anything worrisome about the Nets?
No, it's one game at Milwaukee on the night.
They're raising the banner. The defending champs in their building
on the night. They're hanging their banner, so I take nothing out of that. I think the Nets are going to be great as long as they get enough healthy games from, you know, the Durant, Harden, Kyrie Irving at some point, you triumvirate. So I think the Nets are fine. I just think the Bucks in the regular season are going to be better.
Warriors beat the Lakers. Couple of storylines here. One is the Grizzlies have the Lakers draft pick no matter where it falls this year, right?
I know. It's great. It's great to have extra incentive to root against the Lakers.
Fantastic. Yeah.
But it's not wherever it falls, though. There is a reverse protection on it. So if the Lakers completely fall apart, like, you're not getting a top 10 pick out of that.
I see.
But if they stumble to, like, pick number 18 or pick number 20, like, you're getting that pick, and that would be great.
Do you know off the top of your head, is it just lottery protected, or is it top 10?
It's either top 10 or lottery, and I can't remember off the top of my head. It's one or the other.
All right, so we want them to barely make the playoffs, basically. That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
Really muddle around, and so you get the 15th pick from the Lakers. That would be fantastic. And, listen, LeBron was great, and Anthony Davis was great, and Russell Westbrook was not great. 4 of 13, 4 turnovers, 8 points, minus 23 in 26 minutes of play. Obviously, plus minus is a little bit of an overrated stat, but it's certainly going to take him a while.
You know, I did have the Lakers third in the West, so I was not bold enough to be totally out on them.
Uh-huh.
But I have them third, and I don't have them making the finals, and so I'm certainly far below what the consensus has been. And it's one game, but it's one game that backs my priors, and so I'll put more emphasis on the one game. LeBron James and Anthony Davis are two great players, and not many teams in the league have two great players, but I hate the rest of the roster. I hate everything else about it other than those two guys.
Yeah. And then Steph, he gets a triple-double, but did not actually shoot well at all. It was 5 of 21. Jordan Poole's good. We saw it last year against the Grizzlies, honestly. He was good against the Grizzlies. That was a shrewd pick. Obviously, they don't have Clay yet. They don't have Wiseman yet. But their bench outscored that putrid Lakers bench 55-29, and the Warriors win. Did Drew really, on the podcast, pick the Warriors to come out of the West?
He did, and I don't know about that. I acknowledge that the West, I think, is hard to pick, and so a lot of things could happen. But I don't know.
Maybe he's overworked. Is he overworked? Exhausted? Is he like? You know,
could be. And the season hasn't even started yet. We may need to keep an eye on that. I think, you know, I was slightly lower on the Warriors than consensus, but not a lot. I feel like last night's game, to the degree you can draw conclusions out of game one, last night's game was more of a commentary on the Lakers than the Warriors to me. And so I'll table the Warriors based on that game.
All right, and then last question, you went, I believe, to the sports bar last night, the Win Sports
Bar. The WinBet Sports Bar. They had a little sneak preview, okay, ribbon-cutting thing.
Yep.
Zach Randolph was there. He made a celebrity appearance. I got to chat it up with Zach, which was nice.
That's
and,
good.
You know,
and tell me about
talk to some WinBet executives, talk to Jason Wexler, ate some of the food, and then came home and wrote about it.
And tell me about the sports bar.
You know, it's a sports bar. There's like 35 TVs in there. They have the NFL Sunday ticket. It's going to be open. It will always be open during FedEx Forum events, but during FedEx Forum events, it's basically going to be a glorified concession area. And so, like, you know, you have to have a ticket to the event itself to go
get
into
in there,
the
right.
thing.
Okay.
And also their sort of restaurant sports bar menu will not be operable during game events. The bar will you can get drinks. But you have to bring your concessions.
So you really, if you want to go watch your NFL team, you got to just go when there's no Grizzly, nothing yeah. happening at FedEx Forum.
Yeah. On college football Saturdays and NFL Sundays, you know, even when there's no games in the arena, the sports bar will be open. SH is a full-service sports bar. And it will be open other select times, you know, as they come, like NCAA tournament and stuff like that. But their idea is to, A, have it be another space within the arena during arena events. People can go hang out. But also, when the arena is otherwise dormant, but there's sports going on, it can just be a sports bar like any other sports bar you could go to and hang out. And they claim, and I cannot personally put this to the test, that it's the nicest sports bar in the city.
And
I'm not an expert on sports bars of the city.
It's not the great sports bar town, Chris. Although yeah. it's questionable what you call a sports bar. Is the Brookhaven Pub a sports bar? It's a nice pub.
See, that's yeah. where we were talking about this last night. Like back when I was, before I had kids and I would do stuff like this, like we used to, my friends and I, we would go to Brookhaven and watch games, road games. And it was like pre-COVID before they changed the layout. Like Sweetgrass next door and Cooper Young is where I would go. But those aren't really sports bars in the same sense.
Right. So it's harder for this one. You enter off a Beal
for non-event days, you don't go through the main concourse. There's a separate entrance off of the Beal Street alley. And so it has, that's one of the things I like about it. It's multiple points of entry. And so they can control access. So during game events, you have to be in the arena to get there. And during non-event days, that you can have separate access on the outside.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. I'll see you tonight. Well, I may not.
Thanks.
You'll be in the crowd. All right. That's Chris Harrington.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.